Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessings upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Melton City Council acknowledges that the land being now occupied has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants' Kulin Nation. Council pays its respect to the Kulin Nation people, to the elders and descendants, past and present. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
We have two apologies this evening, Mr. Mayor, Councillor DeSantis and Councillor Carley.
Thank you. Changes to the order of business?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move a procedural motion that merges items 13 and 14 on our agenda to be held together, with the Mayor having up to 5 minutes and each councillor having up to three.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would like to second it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Deputations.
There are no deputations this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Declaration of pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor. Neil. Adoption of minutes of the last meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 28th of May 2018 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Record of Assembly of Councillors.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. That the Record of Assembly of Councillors dated the 28th and the 29th of May 2018, the 4th and the 12th of June 2018, attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Moved by Councillor Bush. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Bush. Seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Any more correspondence? In the correspondence letter from Jenny Makakos regarding neighbourhood houses in the city of Melton, I'll just briefly give a couple of lines out of the letter. The Andrews Labour government is backing our neighbourhood houses as we want to ensure that more Victorians have access to the vital employment, training and volunteering services that many neighbourhood houses provide in the local communities across Victoria. The 2018-19 budget invests a further $21.8 million across the neighbourhood house network. That includes an extra 76,700 hours to be delivered each year to more houses across the state. The funding builds on the more than $30 million per annum the Andrews government already provides to support 375 neighbourhood houses, 16 neighbourhood house networks, and the peak body neighbourhood houses Victoria.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the letter from Jenny Makakos, MP, Minister for Family and Children, Minister for Early Childhood Education, and the Minister for Youth Affairs, addressed by the Mayor, be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Petitions and joint letters?
There are no petitions or joint letters this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Resumption of debate or other business?
No.
Public question time. Mr. Torrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have 12 questions from the public submitted or admitted this evening to be addressed during the course of this meeting. The first of those questions is from Mr. Carl Webster, who is in the gallery. Question reads, the Harkness Road Mosque planning permit states that no more than 60 worshippers can be present at any one time. As this building has the capacity to accommodate 400, I have two questions. First, who will police this? And second, why would a permit like this be allowed in the first place? And Ms. Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development, will provide a response.
Thank you, Carl, for your questions. I might start with your last question first. You'll be aware that Council has previously considered an application for a place of worship at the site to which you refer. Council resolved to defer consideration of that matter and to enable further issues to be considered for a period of at least 4 months, and that was in April of this year. So there is no permit for the proposed use at this point in time. In terms of the actual application, the proposal is for a maximum of 60 worshippers. In the event that a permit is issued, and I'll be clear that no permit has issued at this time, a condition would be imposed to that effect, and it would then be Council's responsibility to enforce that condition along with any other permit conditions that might apply. Thank you.
Next question is from Lynn Worley, who's also in the gallery. Question reads to all Council members, is the Council going to appoint an independent review on the suitability of the soil for the mosque to be built on? And secondly, if the mosque is built and sustains damage due to unstable soil, will the Council be prepared for multi-million dollar lawsuits against them? Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Lynn, for your questions. You may recall when Council last considered this matter in April of this year, it deferred consideration of the application to enable, amongst other matters, for further assessment of the soil conditions to be addressed. In particular, Council has resolved to engage Dr. Delhouse, who prepared the original reports that dated back from the 1980s, to undertake an assessment specific to the actual proposal. His assessment undertaken in the 1980s related to a much different development proposition, being both a suburb and a cemetery. So his more recent review that we've requested of him will consider the actual proposal at hand. In terms of the issue of potential damage to any buildings on the site resulting from unstable soil, in the event that anyone was to build on this site, whether it's a house or whatever it may be, it's incumbent on the owner of the property to have an engineering assessment done of the engineer of the soil types and design and build the structure accordingly. So my view is that Council would not be responsible for any damage that might occur to any future building on that site, regardless of what that building might be.
The next question is from Julie Bryson, who's also in the gallery. Question reads, re-permit PA2017/5728, 171-197 Harkness Road, Harkness. Has Council undertaken any studies to ascertain a building the size of the proposed mosque of this capacity, i.e. 400 to 500 worshippers, and the social impact that this will have within our community? Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Julie, for your question. I'll reiterate what I said earlier, that the application is for 60 worshippers. Now, the building in question is proposed to have a floor area of 693 square metres. However, the proposal is for 60 worshippers, and we can only consider what is before us in that regard. Council has not undertaken any social assessment of any impact of the use of the land as proposed. Council will further consider the proposal prior to the upcoming VCAT hearing, which is scheduled for a full hearing in October of this year, so Council will need to further consider the application to determine its position on the proposal before it proceeds to VCAT. Thank you.
The next question is from Sandra Steers, who's also in the gallery. As a long-time resident of Melton and living close to the mosque site, I would like to voice my objection regarding the proposed alteration to the permit at 171 Harkness Road. My concerns after attending the first VCAT hearing in 2015 is that the member, Mr. Code, emphasised that he was allowing the last permit to go ahead as this was to be a modest side building and the impact minimal. The original permit was for a mosque of 504 square metres and the alteration to the permit is now for 693 square metres. This is a significant rise, and the amenities block, according to my research, caters for in excess of 450 people. Why are you considering the permit? Why wasn't it rejected on these grounds alone? And a note I have written to all councillors individually on the 29th of May in relation to this submission and more, with no response. Mr. Shannon, again, will address the question.
Thank you, Sandra, for your questions. I've already responded to the issue about the capacity of the facility, and again, the application is for 60 worshippers. So Council is required to consider what's before it in that regard. Council actually has an obligation under the Planning and Environment Act to consider any planning application lodged before it. How Council ends up determining the application, whether it supports it or otherwise, remains to be seen, but we actually have an obligation to consider the proposal that is put before us. Thank you.
The next question is from Jane Richards, also in the gallery. Question 3. In regards to the VCAT hearing that is scheduled to be heard on the 22nd of October 2018, Melbourne Islamic Centre Limited versus Melbourne City Council, re Section 79, failure to grant permit within the prescribed time. Can those in charge of town planning explain how this has occurred, and if it is ruled in favour of Melbourne Islamic Centre Limited, does this mean their permit application would then be approved? Surely those employed in the planning department would be aware of this Section 79, so therefore should have acted within the required time so as not to allow such a loophole. Again, Mr. Shannon, to respond.
Thank you, Jane, for your question. I'm certainly well aware of the provisions of the Planning and Environment Act, which set out parameters in terms of making decisions within particular timeframes. It's not uncommon for applicants to appeal to VCAT, both within this municipality but more broadly around Victoria, for what's called failure to determine an application within 60 days. That's not unusual. That in no way prejudices Council's position at any VCAT hearing, nor any resident's position. Anyone who's lodged an objection to an application that goes down this path to VCAT has the opportunity to be heard at VCAT, and I'm sure if you have objected, you would have received correspondence from VCAT in that regard, and there, as I indicated earlier, there will be a full hearing of this matter at VCAT in the second last week of October of this year, over 4 days. Council, as I pointed out earlier, has considered a report on this issue at its meeting of the 30th of April, and as is its right, it determined at that time to seek more information from the applicant, and we have since done that and are undertaking our own assessment in terms of the geology of the site, as I've referred to earlier, and that will take some time. That will occur prior to the VCAT hearing in October, and therefore, as I've again indicated earlier, Council will form a view on the application prior to the VCAT hearing and will go and present that position on behalf of Council at that hearing in October. So, again, whilst I do point out that the matter has gone before VCAT, the reality was this issue was always going to go before VCAT. The applicant has chosen to effectively fast-track that and has lodged an appeal for failure. That in no way prejudices the opportunity for Council and residents to present their position at VCAT. Thank you.
Next is a further question from Jane Richards, and it reads, regarding the proposed mosque in Harkness Road, The site is to be named the Melbourne Islamic Centre. Why should we assume that the traffic to the mosque will only enter from south to north via High Street along Harkness Road to the mosque? If it is the Melbourne Islamic Centre, then it is safe to say that people would travel from the north also and use Coburn's, Mins, Bullman's and Porteous and into Harkness Road to the mosque. Enclosed the current photos of Mins Road after rain a week ago, and also, in vast contrast, Harkness Road recently with an excess of dust, one extreme to the other. How can any of these unmade roads cope with the amount of traffic generated by a large facility such as the proposed mosque? Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Jane, for your question. The site in question does have access directly to Harkness Road, which, as you point out in your question, can be accessed from either the north or the south. The reality is that in the event a facility was built on this site, most traffic would travel along the Sioux Road to get to the facility, most likely along High Street and then to the north along Harkness Road, which is a sealed, well-constructed road, or equally from the east, the southeast, if you like, along Claridash Boulevard, which is within the Arnolds Creek estate. It is true to say, however, that some patrons may choose to travel to the site from the north, along Harkness Road and Mins Road, but as I said, in reality, the majority of vehicles would more than likely travel along the sealed road network. Thank you.
Next question is from Louise DeSellin, who's in the gallery. Can you please explain, under the Aboriginal Heritage Regulations 2007, whether a cultural heritage management plan, planning permits, licences are required for 171 to 197 Harkness Road, Melton, as it has areas of Aboriginal cultural heritage sensitivity? Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Louise, for your question. As I pointed out, the applicant has applied to council for a planning permit, as they are required to do for a use of this type. The issue of whether a cultural heritage management plan is required is unclear, and that's through different legislation over which council has no control. The VCAT have scheduled a date on the 24th of August, which is known as a practice day hearing, and they will make a decision as to whether a cultural heritage management plan is required as part of this proposal. Thank you.
Next question is from Graham Richards, and Mr. Richards is in the gallery. Question reads, I would like to lodge my objection and propose a question to council in regards to the alteration to the permit for a mosque in Harkness Road. As a resident of Melton for over 40 years and living within 1 kilometre of the site on Harkness Road, my observations of the sinkholes on the sides of Harkness Road and in the land around that area is very concerning. After researching various papers regarding the sinkholes, I am concerned about the impact on the land and waterways in the area and how sewage and stormwater from such a large facility will be distributed without impact. Obviously, there is no sewer or stormwater connected to the area, so is there enough land, not including the building and car parks, to meet the requirements for the distribution of waste without impact on the Gilgai, Arnolds Creek or the water table? Note, I am led to believe Gilgai is the Aboriginal word for sinkholes. Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Graham, for your questions. I referred earlier to a report that Council has commissioned from Dr. Delhouse, and he will assess the geology of the land relative to all those issues you raise, including stormwater, sewage disposal, and general impact of any development of this site and what impact the soil conditions might have on such a facility. And Council will consider Dr. Delhouse's report before it makes a decision on this application. Thank you.
The next question is from Ralph Schumann, and Mr. Schumann's in the gallery. This question's in two parts. Part one, will Council advise whether Council is aware of any proposals of Islamic developers or Islamic organisations to acquire land or otherwise establish mosques, Islamic centres or other developments in the municipality aside from PA 2017/5728. And the second part reads, with reference to PA 2017/5728 and in respect to section 6 of the council's code of conduct, after refusing twice to answer my previous question concerning public notification, will council concede that it failed to place a public notice in any local paper concerning the planning application for this 100,000 square metre Melbourne Islamic Centre in Melton West? Again, Mr. Shannon, to respond.
Thank you, Ralph, for your question, or questions. In relation to the first issue you raise, I'm not aware of any other proposals for places of worship throughout the municipality. You'll be aware that there are a significant number of those that exist already, and from time to time new proposals are put forward to council, but I'm not aware of any that might exist at the moment beyond the application at hand. In relation to the second question, I'm not sure what you refer to about refusing to answer previous questions concerning public notification. The planning permit application has been advertised. That did not include a notice in the paper. Council is required as part of considering an application to determine who may be materially affected by a proposal, and to that extent council directed the applicant place a sign on the site and advise by way of in writing to landholders within a certain radius, and I'll need to take that on notice, the exact radius, and I'll provide the answer to you in writing, and in my view that meets the requirements of the Act. Notwithstanding that, the fact is we've received a significant number of objections, so it's quite clear that many residents are well aware of the proposal. I might also address the issue where you refer to a 100,000 square metre Islamic centre in Melton West. I'm not sure where you got that number from. The site in question is 10.45 hectares, perhaps that's what you're referring to. The actual facility proposed, as I referred to earlier, is 693 square metres. Thank you.
Next.
Yes, sir. I just request this interests me very much to clarify here with the public notification. You have public notification from council for the usual. Why is council not seeing fit to public?
Through Mr. Mayor, council officers assess which landowners and occupiers may be materially affected by a proposal. And in this instance, with this proposal, officers form the view that a notice on the site, as well as written notification to all those landowners, occupiers within the vicinity of the site, and I'll give you the exact details of what was classified in the vicinity of the site in writing, as being formal notice required under the Act to all those owners who may be materially affected. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next question is from Colin Seabrook, who's in the gallery. Question reads, with reference to the planned Melbourne Islamic Centre and mosque in Harkness Road, one, now that the Pakistani developers seek to force approval for their project by VCAT, will council advise concerned residents what steps council will undertake to protect the interests of the local community, and what can be done by concerned residents to ensure this unsuitable project does not go ahead? Secondly, with reference to councillors' obligations under section 768B and 76BB and 76BA(D) of the Local Government Act, how can council justify its refusal, reference last public question time, question by Ralph Schumann, to properly vet the applicants? In particular, whether the applicants conduct a proper and lawful business in Australia and whether they are a bona fide registered religious organisation. Again, Mr. Shannon, to respond.
Thank you, Colin, for your questions. In relation to the first issue about ensuring that the, in your words, unsuitable project does not go ahead, Council will consider all elements of the application when it further considers this issue prior to the VCAT hearing, and will balance issues raised by the community, provisions of the planning scheme and relevant state policy. The issue of whether the project's unsuitable or not depends on who you ask. Some others may say it's a suitable project. That's an issue that Council will ultimately need to determine on its planning merits, and will do so in due course. In relation to the issue of properly vetting applicants, I've referred to previously tonight and on earlier occasions that the Council is required to consider any planning permit application it receives. It must do so. The issue of whether a business is a lawful business or, in your words, is a registered religious organisation is not something Council can consider and is irrelevant, in fact, to Council's consideration of the application for a place of worship which is before it. Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. Question reads, in accordance with 2017-18 municipal budget, $50,000 was allocated for the purpose of delivering an off-leash dog park in Diggers Rest. Would Council please confirm the current status of the dog park and provide some details regarding the scope of works together with the expected targets for its completion? And Matthew Wilson, Acting General Manager, Community Services, will provide a response.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for your question. The design work for the dog park has been completed in line with the master plan for the reserve, and officers advise that the works are currently out for quote and the installation of the works will be scheduled in accordance with consultation that's yet to occur with the club's resident in the reserve.
Next question is also from Mr. O'Connor. And it reads, in accordance with the 2018-19 proposed capital works program, an amount of $448,825 has been allocated as land purchase, St. Genevieve Estate. Would Council please provide some details with respect to this initiative? And Mr. Luke Shannon will respond to that question.
Thank you, David, for your question. As you correctly point out, there is a provision in the upcoming budget to effectively acquire land from the St. Genevieve Estate developers, and that's the basis of that is underpinned by the development contributions plan that supports the development plan for Diggers Rest. So in plain English, what that means is some developers are providing a significant amount of open space on their within their developments, others providing much less, and this contribution or this land purchase is effectively an equalisation of the open space provision across the whole of the Diggers Rest growth area and is funded through the development contribution plan. In other words, the developers are funding this acquisition. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
There was one additional question which has been disallowed under the prescribed terms of the Council's local law with respect to public question time, and it was deemed to be objectionable in substance and aimed at embarrassing members of the public, so it's been withheld, and the author of that question will be accordingly advised. That concludes public question time, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Section 12, presentation of staff reports.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion to move the recommendations of the following items in block, those items being item 12.1, 12.2, 12.14, 12.18 and 12.19.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey.
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Item 12.3, Minutes of Section 223 Submissions Committee held on the 29th of May 2018, adoption of the 2018-2019 budget. Mr. Nomura.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Following council meeting on the 26th of March, the proposed budget was placed on display on council's website and around various sites across the municipality until the 27th of April, in accordance with Section 223 of the Local Government Act. Council received 35 submissions, 23 from the public and 12 from councillors. And these submissions were considered at the Section 223 meeting, committee meeting on the 29th of May. Seven verbal presentations were made in support of written submissions on the night. A number of recommendations were made by the Section 223 committee, which are outlined in the attached minutes for council to adopt. Council again has proposed a responsible, financially responsible budget and also delivers on the needs of the community. With over $77 million in capital works, which is the largest works program undertaken by council, this program includes $22.7 million on community buildings, $17 million on roads and $24 million on recreational facilities. Council is also committed to delivery of $134 million to services within our community. Whilst undertaking this program, council repay borrowings by a further $2.82 million and generate a cash neutral position for next financial year, with also a modest underlying surplus. It is recommended by the Section 223 Committee that Council notes the minutes of the Section 223 Submissions Committee meeting held on the 29th of May and adopts the recommendations arising within the minutes at Appendix 1.
Thank you, Mr. Romero. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move this item and commend all our residents that took part in this in the draft budget as well as Section 223, and commend our council officers for what I believe is a fantastic budget.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I would like to second, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Medley, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 12.4, State Commonwealth Budget 2018-2019. Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's some tradition that we annually report to Council a report in regard to the outcome of the both state and federal budgets and potentially what the impact, either directly or indirectly, to the Melton community is. Particularly in regard to the state government budget, it was handed down on the 1st of May. An overview was attached as Appendix 1 for those who have interest in perusing it. Key policy areas for funding were largely in relation to infrastructure investment and education. The budget provides a surplus of $1.4 billion overall and a forecast average surplus of $2.5 billion over the next 4 years. Direct investment in relation to the City of Melton was predominantly limited to education, as was the previous budget. And specific local investment highlights for the proposed budget is the Burnside proposed Peter 6 additional stages of the new school set to open in 2019, which is approximately in the value of $5.6 million. Upgrades to the Melton West Primary School at around $6.4 million. And there's four additional police drawn from a pool of 144 across North West Metro Region. There are a number of other items of note to include, which are set out on page 178. Some in particular are the reinstatement of the Growing Suburbs Fund, which was reduced to $25 million. That's been further increased up to $50 million. There's a $241 million for community and suburban oval upgrades, and Western Water Region Corporation project, the Melton Waste to Energy Facility, at a value of around $450,000. A week later, on the 8th of May, the Turnbull Government delivered the Commonwealth Budget, of which an attachment known as Appendix 2 is there for any person who has interest in perusing it. The key measures announced focused around reducing company tax rates and announcing a return to surplus in the 2019-20 year. Infrastructure spending and issues such as the Melbourne Airport and Rail Link were also announced, which will have some indirect benefit to our municipality. Although we didn't receive any direct funding, there are other budget items that have implications for council and local government as a national sector. The Roads of Strategic Importance Initiative is committed to having $3.5 billion
allowed for it over the next 10 years. There is up to $5 billion for the future Melbourne Airport Rail Link, which we propose will provide a significant number of job opportunities for our residents. The budget reconfirmed the build of the $9.3 billion inland rail project between Brisbane and Melbourne. $29.7 million for sort of up to 500 local community sporting infrastructure grants, and a significant commitment of $440 million in funding to support the 15-hour kindergarten program. Of interest to note, I thought, in the context for presenting to Council this evening, I guess, in addition to what I've just outlaid there, announcements that have been commenced and stated in previous financial budgets that are due for expenditure within the 2018-19 budget have also been set out in pages 179 and 180, and they are five schools within the municipality with a total investment cost of $46 million. Regional Growth Fund investment of $272 million into large regional infrastructure projects. The Building Better Regions Fund of $200 million for the third round of Building Better Regions to support regional communities for funding infrastructure and community investment projects. And the Roads to Recovery, which is the allocation for councils across Australia, being determined on the basis of the recommendation of the Local Government Grants Commission in each state. The total for that is $7,050,344 million. The estimated 2018-19 allocation to council is $135,575. Of financial assistance grants provided to local government nationally since 1974-75, the Commonwealth Government has brought forward 50% of the financial assistance grant program from the 2017-18 year estimate for payment in the current year. This $1.2 billion was paid to states and territories in early June. The remaining 50% will be paid across the balance of the year. There is no financial consideration in the preparation of this report to Council, although, as I previously stated, there's no direct, or not significant direct benefits to Council within the budget. There are significant funding opportunities within the current budget which Council will have opportunity to have access to throughout the financial year. We have always traditionally done very well, Mr. Mayor, in the access and allocation of these funds to Council, and we look forward to the continuation of that success. I therefore propose to the Council, Mr. Mayor, that the recommendation printed on 178, the Council note the report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
This is me having my angry pants on, Mr. Mayor. How many pages of paperwork did you have to go through with either government to find anything that was remotely relating to Melton?
Through Mr. Mayor to Councillor Ramsey, we had a number of staff go through the entire budget looking for specific reference to Melton, but as I said, there are a significant number of funding pools within there which we will be able to access, as do every other council, either on a state level or a national level throughout the year.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I don't see a hospital, a university, more police numbers. I see the traditional, old traditional ones, and they've re-announced the funding for the duplication of the railway track twice, if not three times. So I'm getting a little bit upset. We're a growth corridor on
the outskirts
of Melton. We need to be heard.
Thank you.
Question mark.
Any further questions, councillors? Any further clarification? Do you have a mover for the...
Yes, Mr. Mayor, while I'm going to move that the report be noted, I noticed that for one of the issues there is about TAFE apprentices. Let's hope that dovetails into a TAFE facility being reinstated in Melton.
Thank you, Councillor.
Mr. Mayor, I put the report as noted.
Moved by Councillor Hardy, got a signal to the motion.
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor, and I'd also like to add my comments that I actually back both councillors, and I think it's time that we actually got some of those things in Melton and we start to advocate heavily for them.
Thank you, Councillor Mendez. Moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Mendez. Is there any councillor opposed the motion? All those in favour?
Thinking about it.
I declare the motion carried.
Farrell.
Item 12.5, Responsive Notes Motion 562.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Shannon, you doing this one?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, it does have you doing that too. I was reading the wrong line.
Mr. Mayor, the purpose of this report is to provide a response to a notice of motion put forward by Councillor Bushy at the April 2018 ordinary meeting, where Council resolved that it be provided with an urgent maintenance report for the Brookside Recreation Reserve with recommendations to improve the conditions of the oval. Mr. Mayor, the report provides some context in terms of the usage of the Brookside Recreation Reserve, which Council will be aware is a very well utilised and heavily utilised facility. And in fact, it's the most heavily used sporting ground in the municipality. It's the shared home of the Westside Strikers, Caroline Springs, George Cross Soccer Club. The Westside Strikers, Caroline Springs, and the George Cross Soccer Club. And it is also part of a joint use agreement with the Caroline Springs College. And in addition to that, given the high profile nature of the site being on Caroline Springs Boulevard, it has a lot of incidental use from the public outside of use by those groups that I just named. Council has in place a fairly extensive maintenance program for this recreation reserve, and in addition, over the last financial year, has undertaken significant unscheduled works over and above. The reality, councillors, in terms of the usage of the reserve, it will be continue to be a heavily utilised reserve until such time as council's new recreation facility is completed in City Vista Court in Taylors Hill West, and that will be completed early in the new year. That hopefully will take some pressure off the activities on this reserve. Council engages on a bi-monthly process, a consultant who undertakes an assessment of all our sporting facilities to make sure they're up to standard. And you can see on the top of page 271 a summary of the assessment, the last three assessments of the Brookside Recreation Reserve, which all came in at or above what is seen as being an acceptable standard. In addition, Mr. Mayor, the report sets out some of the additional works that Citywide, our maintenance contractor, has undertaken in recent times, and that's included drill seeding with perennial ryegrass, which will ensure that there's a good turf coverage over the winter period that we're now heading right into. In addition, observations of the ground have increased to at least once a week by council's staff and contractors, and ensuring that if there are any areas, particularly low-lying areas or depressions that have been established over the previous week, that they are filled in and made safe. So in summary, councillors, the reserve is heavily utilised and thus does require significant maintenance. I anticipate that as that new facility comes on that I spoke about in Taylors Hill West, the pressure off this reserve will come off this reserve, which will enable a more established maintenance program and for the standard to be maintained and hopefully lifted. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any council require any further clarification? Do you have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move this with an additional point to the officer's recommendation, if that's okay. The council note its commitment to visiting the site each week to fill in any low areas or depressions that may pose a trip hazard. And I can provide those words if needed.
Moved by Councillor Bushy with an alternative.
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor. Can I seek clarification, please?
You can.
Noting that this is one of the largest sporting grounds and well, more traffic than everything, would it then... It isn't the only sporting ground we've got. So does that mean that every week officers are not only going to go to this site, but every other site? I mean, it says here that it not only will it continue and maintain in accordance with current practice, under options it says all necessary maintenance works have been now performed at this oval. So, I mean, weekly, is that how much in addition to what's currently being done is weekly?
Through Mr. Mayor, I'm confident that all our recreation reserves have the appropriate level of attention, and really it's a horses for courses situation. As I pointed out in the report, this reserve is by far the most heavily utilised recreation reserve in the municipality, and I think it does warrant the treatment to which I referred, which is the weekly visit and attending to any issues, and we should maintain that at least until the new facility in Taylor's Hill West is operable, at which point we can review the maintenance standards, and it may well be that it continues at the same level infinitum, because it's a very high profile site on the corner of Rockbank Middle Road and Caroline Springs Boulevard, and will always attract a lot of patronage. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 12.6, Amendment C173 to the Melton Planning Scheme Significant Landscape Features Strategy Panel Report. Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider the recommendations of the Planning Panel on Amendment C173 to implement the Significant Landscape Feature Strategy into the Melton Planning Scheme. The 2012 Planning Scheme Review identified the need to undertake a landscape strategy to protect important features and recommend improved planning controls. The strategy was also a key recommendation from the Western Plains North Green Wedge Management Plan, which was adopted by Council in 2014. The Significant Landscape Feature Strategy identifies significant landscapes across the municipality and provides policy direction in the form of landscape management guidelines and decision guidelines contained within the local policy and overlays. At its ordinary meeting on the 2nd of May 2016, Council adopted the strategy, which is contained at Appendix 1, and resolved to prepare and exhibit Amendment C173 to the Melton Planning Scheme, which is contained at Appendix 2. Amendment C173 seeks to amend the Melton Planning Scheme to implement the recommendations of the Significant Landscape Features Strategy, and it sets out detailed guidance for the responsive design and siting of development that will form part of any plan and permit application. Specifically, it extends an existing significant landscape overlay mapping at Mount Cororoit and Mount Cottrell, which seeks to minimise impacts of on these design features through the application of design and decision guidelines to encourage sensitive design. It amends the significant landscape overlay schedule and also the environmental significance overlay schedule to include the relevant parts of the adopted strategy. It makes minor amendments to the Municipal Strategic Statement contained at Clauses 2101 and 2103 of the Melton Planning Scheme to reflect the strategy, and it also introduces a Rural Landscape Character Policy into the Melton Planning Scheme, which applies to all rural land within the municipality and sets out the design guidelines which planning permits must consider. Finally, it introduces the Significant Landscape Feature Strategy, which was adopted in May 2016 as a reference document within the Melton Planning Scheme. The amendment was placed on public exhibition from the 5th of October 2017 to the 6th of November 2017, and 16 submissions were received through this process. All submissions opposed the amendment in some form, except for a submission received from the CFA, which supported the amendment. Following the exhibition, Council contacted submitters and attempted to resolve the submissions. Most submitters requested significant changes to the amendment and indicated their support for an independent planning panel to consider the submissions. At its ordinary meeting on December the 18th, 2017, Council resolved to request the Minister for Planning establish an independent planning panel to consider the unresolved submissions received in response to the amendment in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act 1987. On the 10th of January, Planning Panels Victoria appointed a two-person panel to hear and consider the submissions, and the panel conducted a directions hearing on the 30th of January 2018, followed by the panel itself on the 8th of March 2018. Five submitters requested to be heard at the planning panel, but it's important to note that all submissions received were considered by the panel, whether they were present at the panel hearing or not. The panel issued its report to council officers on the 30th of April 2018, which is contained at Appendix 3. The panel report supported the amendment and the strategy and noted that the extension of the significant landscape overlay at Mount Cottrell and Mount Cororoit was appropriate and the methodology underpinning it was sound. The panel agreed with Melton City Council's submission that the abandonment of the extension to the Mount Atkinson Significant Landscape Overlay mapping was appropriate in the context of the recently approved Mount Atkinson Precinct Structure Plan, which meant that this volcano was now within an urban context and not a rural context. The panel also supported the introduction of the rural landscape policy that I discussed earlier. The panel recommended that Council adopt the amendment as exhibited, subject to the changes outlined at page 275 of this report and detailed further in Appendix 4. Council officers, as required by the Planning Environment Act 1987, made the report public on the 30th of April 2018, including sending letters to all submitters advising them that the report was available. Should Council choose not to adopt Amendment C173, there will be an absence of local planning policy in the scheme, which means there will not be clear direction for Council officers assessing future planning permit applications in a consistent and efficient way. This may also result in inappropriately designed development impacting the landscape features and rural character of the City of Milton. It should also note that if Council should choose not to adopt C173, it would mean that an adopted Council document would not be implemented into the planning scheme, and it may have an impact on any weight afforded to the strategy and VCAP proceedings. In this context, it's recommended that Council 1. Adopt Amendment C173 to the Milton Planning Scheme as contained at Appendix 4, and 2. Submit the amendment to the Minister for Planning for approval. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
I have two really quick questions. If ever Mount Coleroy and Mount Cottrell become, if and when, if being the operative word, ever go into the UGZ, are the overlays likely to reduce as they have in, is it the Mount Atkinson one?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if the UGZ schedule was ever to change, and that's obviously a state government decision rather than a council decision, then if it included those areas that have Mount Coleroy or Mount Cottrell in it, the SLO and the impact of the SLO would be considered in the preparation of any precinct structure plan.
And my second question, thank you, Laura Jo, when it comes to the usage, nothing changes in regards to this report. It's basically business as usual.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the amendment that's been implemented through this report doesn't change the underlying zone, be it Green Wedge, rural conservation or farming zones. So the uses that are permitted within those zones or prohibited within those zones still apply.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Medley.
I have a question similar to the lines of what Councillor Ramsey said, but probably just different wording. So what will the residents now not be able to do if this is passed that they were able to do before this? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor. So in terms of their ability to manage or develop the site, this will not change what they can currently do. It simply is a mechanism when considering planning permit applications for those specific uses that trigger it, that the guidelines that are contained within these policies and the decision guidelines contained within these policies about the siting and design of development are applied when assessing the planning permit application and should be considered by any applicants in the design of their proposal.
Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Mellon, can you talk a little bit about, I'm still getting my head around why Mount Atkinson was abandoned?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So Mount Atkinson, just to be clear, it was just the extension of the SLO, not the whole SLO. And the reason for that was that state government have the urban growth zone on the area where the extension was proposed. So the policy and the guidelines that were in there relate to rural land. So it was considered to be a conflict with adopted state policy to maintain the extension. That being said, the officers worked with the Victorian Planning Authority to ensure that the relevant guidelines in terms of protecting view lines and maintaining visual views, I suppose, through the development to the volcano at Mount Atkinson were maintained, and the mount itself is covered by a rural conservation zone. So therefore, there's very limited development opportunities.
Thank you.
Does any other councillor calling for clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll move this motion. Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Mendez. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'll second it. Thank you.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich. Moved by Councillor Mendez. Seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Is there any other councillor opposed motion? Can we go into debate? Councillor Mendez, do you wish to speak at present? You reserve your right. Councillor Kisich.
Councillor
Bush, you were the opposer.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak to this, Mr. Mayor. I've done quite a bit of work around this in that I finally had a formal tour of the site, Mount Atkinson, Mount Cottrell today, and went all around just to understand the complexities around it. It is quite complex, and I can appreciate why residents have reservations. In my assessment, a significant part of the existing land in Mount Cottrell and Mount Coleraine district areas are already subject to numerous controls, and I believe provide an appropriate level of protection for this area. Some of these include the part green wedge zone, part rural conservation zone, the existing significant land overlay SLO1, volcanic hills and cones applying to a small part of the land along Faulkner's Road, environmental significant overlay Schedule 2, wetlands, waterways, environmental significant overlay Schedule 3, western grassland reserves applied under VC068, heritage overlay, Mount Cottrell dry stone wall precinct, public acquisition overlay, western grasslands reserves also applies under VC068. Accordingly, Mr. Mayor, I do not support the extension of the SLO1 as proposed, and I urge Council to consider abandoning Amendment C173 to the Mountain Planning Scheme. I believe that stronger regulation is needed to protect the existing overlay, so the existing one, with the aim of managing the crest of the volcanic cone in perpetuity. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Councillor Kesich.
If I may, I would like to change my mind and I would like to pull back my second. Thank you.
No, why is on the table for this?
If I need to be clear.
Well, we'll still go ahead with motion and then we'll go on it.
Thank you.
Okay, does any other councillor wish to speak? Do you wish to speak?
I just wanted to add that I'm going to vote against it, that I changed my mind. Thank you.
You're quite within your rights. Councillor. Hold on a second.
Oh, sorry, but you're pointing to me.
Do you wish to speak?
Yes.
Well, you can you're speaking against, yeah.
In general, Mr. Mayor, I don't have an issue with the planning scheme as such. However, I do have an issue in particular with the Mount Cottrell overlay part of it. In some instances, or in one in particular, the overlay will overlay all of a particular resident's land. If officers could somehow work with the residents to reduce this particular area on the Mount Cottrell overlay only, Mr. Mayor, whether that's the CLO, I'm not sure what it's called, I'd be happy to revisit that. But at the moment, I think there's too much overlay over the Mount Cottrell section, which I believe is already, it already does have some sort of overlay with the significance in it. But the rest of the report I'm happy with, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. You wish to speak, Councillor Ramsey?
Mr. Mayor,
for or against?
I was actually going to make a suggestion. now that I've heard Councillor Madelick's arguments, would there be an issue with deferring this item for the period of 1 month to see whether the SLO around Mount Cottrell could be redefined in some way, or is it pressing at the moment that we make a decision?
We have to abandon it or adopt it.
Mr. Mayor?
We have to abandon it or adopt it.
There is no right to move.
Mr. Mayor, a point of order. There is no seconder to this motion, so this motion must be deferred.
It has been seconded.
Aye.
But he withdrew it.
Whether you're against or for it, you can still second it. It doesn't make a difference. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
You can vote against it even if you've seconded it.
Thank you, Uncle.
Council members, do you wish to have the...
Mr.
Maybe we can give a bit of clarification,
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The issue was raised about whether a particular property could be excluded or partly excluded from the amendment, as I understand. If indeed Council have concerns about the amendment as it's presented, it is possible for you to defer consideration of it tonight to enable further discussion and working through specific issues of concern you may have. That may be a better outcome than simply abandoning the amendment, because if that happens, it's all over.
Well, Mr. Mayor, can I move a motion that we defer the item 12.6 so more discussion can be held around the cone and the SLO around Mount Cottrell for a period of 1 month?
Deferral motion moved by Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor...
Mr. Sharon.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can I just clarify something? If indeed Council wish to defer the application, it may be prudent not to have a time limit on it.
That you feel is appropriate.
So if we simply defer consideration of the matter to enable further discussions, a report will come back to Council in the coming months, but that will enable enough time to have those discussions to get it to an appropriate Council meeting without allowing it to drag on inordinately, of course.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I second the motion, and whilst I'm about it, I put the motion.
We have to deal with the initial motion that's been moved first.
However, there is still the original motion.
Okay.
My understanding is that Councillor Ramsey has moved a procedural motion to amend the proceedings of Council at this meeting for the motion before the Chair to lay on the table until a future meeting of Council, and that is the effect of the procedural motion. If the procedural motion is adopted, the primary motion is not dealt with until a future meeting of Council.
Okay. Well, my following so far is that it's been moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor wish to speak against the deferral?
Mr. Mayor, I just want some specific wording in that to be in consultation with residents affected. Otherwise...
I agree with that.
Yeah, so some kind of wording to be inserted that ensures our residents are consulted in this process, please.
Who's got some wording?
Let's move that Council defer this item until further investigation and consultation occurs with residents for a future meeting.
Everybody happy?
Happy.
Okay. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? Oh, sorry, is the mover happy with that?
I am very happy with that.
Is the seconder happy with that? Okay, let's move on. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion, I declare the motion carried.
Oh, hang on, I'll write that on something else.
Item 12.7. Amendment C191 to the Mountain Planning Scheme 21 East Thames Street.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Mellon.
Can I just move this item as per the recommendation?
Move by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendez. Is there any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Amendment C195 to the Mountain Plan Scheme, Colwright and Plumpton Infrastructure Contribution Plan. Ms. Mellon again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to present Melton City Council's submission to the Planning Scheme Amendment C195 to the Melton Planning Scheme, which relates to the Infrastructure Contributions Plan for the Colwright and Plumpton Precinct Structure Plans. The Victorian Planning Authority has recently released Amendment C195 to introduce the Plumpton and Colwright Infrastructure Contributions Plan into the Melton Planning Scheme, and a copy of that can be found at Appendix 1. The Infrastructure Contributions Plan supports the Plumpton and Colwright Precinct Structure Plans that were incorporated into the Melton Planning Scheme on the 1st of February 2018. The Infrastructure Contributions Plan is a statutory mechanism which specifies the monetary and public land contributions that developers will make to council to provide essential works and services for new communities in these precinct structure plan areas. The infrastructure contribution system was implemented in June 2016 and has recently been changed in response to a planning and environment amendment, the Public Land Contributions Act 2018, which received royal assent on 20th of February 2018 and is expected to be in effect from the 1st of July 2018. The recent changes introduce a new public land contribution model for the infrastructure contribution system, and the new model requires land for a public purpose to be provided as part of an infrastructure contribution when the land is developed and replaces the previous public land levy, which was a monetary contribution. The ICP system retains the levies that were in place for transport construction and community and recreation construction. Officers have reviewed the information provided by the VPA in respect of the infrastructure contribution plan and have prepared a detailed submission, which is attached to Appendix 2 to this report. In summary, there are four key issues identified in the submission. Firstly, there are discrepancies between the proposed ICP and the approved PSPs, including discrepancies between project descriptions, land area, and the staging of projects. The infrastructure contribution levy will only contribute 73.3% of the financial contribution required to construct community and recreation infrastructure projects, which is a departure from the development contribution plan system, where council could have recovered a greater proportion that was generally between 80 and 85% to construct the infrastructure. There is a number of transport projects required to service the communities in Plumpton and Colwright that have been allocated to proposed development in the Colwright Regional Park area, where a PSP has not been approved. State government is currently reviewing the boundaries of the regional park, and the revised boundaries will need to be approved by the Commonwealth Government. It is therefore considered that at the moment the full cost of the transport projects cannot be fully recovered by this planning, the precinct structure plan for Colwright Creek. The infrastructure contribution plan also proposes to change the description of the Plumpton Aquatic Centre to an indoor recreation component, which redefines the project from what was considered through the PSP process and the panel hearing, and is not consistent with Council's previous recommendations on this use. It is therefore recommended that Council endorse and submit the submission contained at Appendix 2 to the Victorian Planning Authority requesting the changes to the Infrastructure Contributions Plan. 2, authorises the General Manager of Planning and Development and Manager of City Design, Strategy and Environment to negotiate and resolve these issues with the Victorian Planning Authority. And thirdly, that Council write to the Minister for Planning to request that the Community and Recreation Construction Levy be reviewed to ensure that the levy is fair and reasonable and appropriate to deliver essential infrastructure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mill. Does any Council require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've still got my angry pants on. Dot point number 3, write to the Minister for Planning to request that the Community Recreation Construction Levy be reviewed to ensure that the levy is fair and reasonable. I mean, a couple of items ago we were just trying to scratch our heads to find out how Melton fared in the Commonwealth and state budgets, and yet now we're capped to 2% for rates. We're allowing developers to not give us a fair and reasonable amount of community infrastructure levies, and we're expected to be able to continue to deliver to our communities, which is one of the fastest growing in Australia. So,
Mr. Mayor, point of order, question.
Yes, Councillor Ramsey.
Yes, please. I don't know how we can strengthen dot point 3 to actually start making the government, in this case the state Labor government, actually responsible for making sure that a fair and reasonable levy comes, we can actually charge a fair and reasonable levy from our developers to continue to provide our communities with the infrastructure they need.
Councillor Ramsey, if you don't have a question, please sit down.
Well, the question is...
Are you asking a question or giving us an answer?
No,
Yeah, we could change the word.
Sorry?
We could change one word.
Yeah, well, you tell me which word to change.
Well, change request.
To order?
Insist or demand?
Insist?
I wouldn't go as far as demand, Mr. Mayor.
Insist, good, then.
I think we have to still retain some sort of good relationship.
Some decorum?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, Councillor Ramsey.
But we're representing our community, aren't we? I mean, they've imposed this on us, and it's either going to come from the state government or from our ratepayers, and I'd rather see it come from the state government.
You're happy to change it to insist, Councillor Ramsey?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Councillor Ramsey, are you moving this motion?
I will.
With a change of one word.
Yep.
Before we go any further, does any other council require any further clarification? Moved by Councillor Ramsey with changing one word to insist. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to support the motion from Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried.
Could I ask for a division, Mr. Mayor?
Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Turner. I declare division carried. Thank you. 1211, planning application PA 2017-5873, development of the land with 18 double-storey dwellings.
Mr. Mayor, you missed two.
12-9. Oh, there we go. 12-9. I knew that was a thick one. 12.9. Planning Scheme Amendment GC 99 Regional Parks. Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider Melton City Council's submission to Planning Scheme Amendment GC99, which is a group council amendment that applies to the Melton, Windham and Casey planning schemes in respect of regional parks proposed within each of the municipalities. In the Melton context, it relates to Corroit Regional Park, which was first identified in state planning strategies in 2002, and since then has been identified in numerous state government planning documents, including the West Growth Corridor Plan and Plan Melbourne. In addition, the Biodiversity Conservation Strategy, which was approved in 2013, identified the boundary of Corroit Regional Park, which is shown at Appendix 1, and identified areas that were to be protected for high-quality, herb-rich native grasslands that contained a range of biodiversity values that had both national and state significance. The Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning have exhibited Planning Scheme Amendment GC99. It's been prepared by the Minister for Planning to implement the Corroit Creek Regional Park, Clyde Regional Park and Werribee Township Regional Parks into the Melton, Casey and Windham planning schemes respectively. Specifically to Melton, the planning scheme seeks to amend the Melton planning scheme to include a public acquisition overlay, PAO 11, to the site proposed for the Corroit Regional Park, and update clause 4501 in the scheme to reference the Minister for Energy, Environment and Climate Change as the acquiring authority for the regional park, and a copy of the planning scheme ordinance is contained at Appendix 2 to this report. The effect of the amendment is to put in place a planning mechanism to acquire the land for the regional park. The proposed public acquisition overlay identifies land proposed to be acquired for a public purpose, which essentially has the effect of reserving the land under the Land Acquisition and Compensation Act of 1986. The amendment also sets the acquiring authority for the regional park, as previously mentioned, as the Minister for Energy, Environment and Climate Change. Council officers have undertaken a review of the amendment documentation and have identified a number of key issues which are detailed in Section 2 of this report. But in summary, officers question the prematurity of applying the public acquisition overlay for the regional park at Corroit when the boundaries have not been confirmed. We also would like clarification on the proposed method of acquisition for the property at 1352 to 1402 Western Highway. And finally, we would like the inconsistencies of the information reference for the Corroit precinct structure plan to be addressed. The planning scheme amendment itself has been undertaken by the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning, and as such, Council is not responsible for the costs associated with the preparation of the amendment or for any standing advisory committee hearing. If the issues raised in the Melton City Council are not resolved, officers would request to be heard at the standing advisory committee meeting, which will potentially require representation from Council. It is therefore recommended that Council prepare a submission outlining the Planning Scheme Amendment GC99 is premature prior to the application to amend the boundaries being determined by the Commonwealth Government, and also addressing the key issues identified in this report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mullen. Does any Council require any further clarification?
Mr. Mayor, thank you. I'll have a tiny statement, if you allow me.
Pardon?
On a subject, a tiny statement. It is not a question.
You want to keep it till we vote? Have you got a statement?
It will be just the one sentence.
You know, you keep it for when we vote.
All right, thank you.
It's a statement, it's not a question. Does any council wish to move? Okay, no, Sir Andrew, do you have some clarification?
Yes, I have, Mr. May, thank you. I asked this behind the scenes, but I need to ask it again. Areas in this zone that have got environmental features that are considered pristine, whether it be the church land or some of our local residents' lands or whatever else, they're not likely to now be switched as a result of this process of work.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if you look at the plan on page 601, of the report, that outlines what is being proposed as the public acquisition overlay. But if you also look at the plan on 603, the green areas that are identified are the other areas that will be acquired under different methods, including the property that we referenced in the report. So essentially, the properties in 603 will all be acquired for the purposes of the regional park. Council officers' concern is that at the moment, the boundary for the regional park actually is consistent with the plan on page 602. So if you look at Sinclair's Road to Clark's Road are the current boundaries of the park, including the areas that are hatched on this plan, which are proposed to be removed under the public acquisition overlay. The concern that council officers have at the moment is ordinarily you would define the boundaries of the property that you're going to acquire before you apply the public acquisition overlay. So at the moment, as council officers understand it, the boundaries of the regional park have not actually been approved by the Commonwealth.
We haven't got wealthy residents out there that can sway the powers of governments to make decisions that would forfeit the environmental nature of some of these blocks, have we?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure what the question is.
Residents out there have asked me the question that if the people that own the properties have got enough money behind them that they will be able to get theirs developed and get it out of those zones.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
We thought without environmental significance.
It's got nothing to do with the land owners of the land and to do with the environmental values that were found on the site when state government undertook their assessments. They have agreed to reconsider the boundaries based on the environmental values that are on the property. So where there's sites that through the biodiversity conservation strategy may have been determined that they didn't have high values or there was no values found on the site, they do have the opportunity under their approval to define the boundaries through a strategic planning process, which is what they're currently doing. But it wouldn't, if the site has been identified for environmental values, it would still be identified for environmental values.
Thank you.
Mario, please. Ms. Mellon, can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
Ken. Okay, on you go.
I'll wait for you.
Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Mayor. The question I've got is that the Corio PSP, if it is identified by the feds as being in the plan as of, sorry to be so slow about this, 601, if that was adopted, would the park go through as shown?
To you, Mr. Mayor, the park boundaries will be defined by a separate process.
Yes.
This is simply applying a public acquisition overlay to the land. It's not defining the boundary of the park. Once the park boundaries are defined, a precinct structure plan for Corroit Regional Park would be developed that would then set the direction for how the regional park would be developed. So this is simply a process to acquire the land.
Part two of the question is, if we adopt as the process tonight, it's sending it back to others to go and do the talk fest and also to identify and do everything else and come back to us. Is that how it is?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's actually a state government amendment, yes, not a council amendment, so this is our submission to that amendment. So we would present our case, the Standing Advisory Committee would consider all the submitters, similar to when we appoint a planning panel, and then they would make a recommendation to the Minister for Planning and the Minister for Environment and Climate Change on how to proceed. So it wouldn't necessarily come back to council for any adoption, but we could provide a report back explaining the outcome if you wanted that.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Medley.
I have a question, actually, and also a slight alteration to the recommendation if council permits. But my question is, earlier on in my first term, I believe that council determined through a meeting such as this that it was against any state or federal decision to make this whole region a state regional park. Is that correct? Am I right in saying that we were against it in the first place? And this was earlier on, I'm talking like 2009, maybe 2010. And I do apologise for putting you guys on the spot for this one.
Through you, Mr. Mann, not to my knowledge, the general location has been identified as a regional park by the state government, particularly for many, many years, at least 10 years as I recall, through a strategy called Linking People and Spaces, which I think came out in the early 2000s. And council has always advocated for a regional park in Melton and in the Eastern Corridor, not necessarily specifically this location, but in this corridor. And it certainly
was August 2002.
Oh, it was pretty
so
close.
That was a
thank
lot
you.
Longer than the 10 years.
Yep. So it's certainly been on the radar for some time. And to my knowledge, council has never actually opposed the location as such as shown in the papers before you.
Thank you. Ms. Mellon, can you tell me roughly, have you got an idea of a timeline for how long this process is going to take?
So
before we get a final decision on this land?
So my understanding for the public acquisition, so the amendment that's before you to determine whether you want to put a submission in, the Standing Advisory Committee will be held in August, late July, early August, and then they'll have a certain amount of time to hand down their report. Our understanding is at that time there'll be a concurrent process to define the boundaries. So based on the information that we've been given by state government at this point in time, subject to obviously ministers in both state and federal government approving things, they expect to have a decision prior to Christmas. And then following that, there would have to be a process to prepare the precinct structure plan, which, as councillors are aware, can take a couple of years to prepare.
Couple of years. Thank you. Finish with that?
I don't have a question.
No, I just want to give Councillor Casey a chance. If you other people have asked Mr. questions, and also had statements, so if you've got a statement...
Mr. Mayor, I would like to forfeit mine. Please, to ask.
Thank you.
It's not necessarily a question, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to... maybe it's a foreshadow, I'm not sure, maybe Mr. Tory could help me out. I was never for this proposed corridor to be of state or federal public acquisition for our residents, so I would like to, if it pleases the council, before the recommendation have the wording that council is against having federal or state significant in regards to this land. I don't know how to word it, so I'm hoping that the officers would help me here. However, if the state and federal aren't going to respect, I don't know how to word it, so I'm just going on the fly here. So council is against this corridor of land being subject to state, regional and federal regional park of whatever type in this particular area. However, should that not be accepted by the state and federal government, then continue prepare a submission outlining that planning scheming amendment is premature, blah blah blah. So we're saying we're not agreeing that this particular corridor should be state and federal park.
So is that your opinion, Councillor Mabel?
No. Oh, that's what I'm putting forward. Whether councillors agree or not, that's going to be, I guess, up to the vote. You don't have to agree, Councillor Ramsey. I'm just saying that this is what I would like to see, because I never wanted to see this land, and I was under the impression that council always had that foresight or that view that we weren't accepting state governments encumbering this corridor of land. So whether that's accepted or not, that's a different issue, but that's what I'm bringing forward to council.
If that makes sense.
Okay. I would suggest perhaps a wording along the lines that council oppose the creation of a regional park in this area. However, determined to proceed to prepare a submission... However, should the state determine to proceed with a regional park, council prepare a submission, blah, 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 as to your motion.
Would that also encompass the federal part of it too, though, Mr. Tory, through you, Mr. Mayor?
Well, the federal government is... Ms. Mellon might know better than me, but under the Biodiversity Act... the federal government has declared that this area has high value.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, I'll hand over to Ms. Mel.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, the biodiversity conservation strategy that state government prepared, that basically done an assessment of all the growth areas, not just Melton, was submitted to the federal government and is approved under the Environmental Biodiversity Conservation Act, so it actually has a Commonwealth approval and it's protected at the moment. So the regional park is subject of a Commonwealth approval. So state government and council don't actually have the power to revoke that approval. It's approved under that specific act. The thing that state government can recommend is the changes to the boundary of the park itself, which is the process that runs concurrently and has informed this planning scheme amendment that they're proposing for the public acquisition overlay, but in terms of the park itself, it's subject to an actual Commonwealth approval.
However, Mr. Mayor, just on that, even though council is basically, their hands are tied, limited in what we can do, we can still make our opinion known. Is that fair to say?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hang on.
Mario, please. Please, Mario, or you have to leave.
Mr. Mayor, could I seek some clarification on what's just been proposed? So if what Councillor Madelick's saying, we oppose it, and then if the state government don't choose to listen to us and they go ahead with it, we put a submission in. Is that basically what we're saying?
A submission in regardless, Councillor Ramsey.
Well, hang on, I just got clarification from the CEO and he said that was what...
The wording I read out indicated that if the state government determined to proceed, then we would make the submission. But if you wanted to say we will make the submission in addition to opposing, then that's the way we can word it. Okay.
Make the submission in addition to
opposing. Okay.
So we're saying we're opposing it, however...
However, make the submission.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry.
Councillor Ramsey.
Can
I...
Okay.
Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I just say, if Council's now going to oppose it, what zones are then put over? If we go ahead with Councillor Madelick's notice of motion, the zone over the church land and residence lands and everybody's lands that have got these environmental significance that are now under a zone called Regional Park, what would they be? Would they be commercial development, housing? I mean, what's the ask here?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if state government were to agree with Council's view that it shouldn't be a regional park, there would need to be a fairly significant process to undo a Commonwealth approval, essentially. That would be the first step. You would have to look at that Commonwealth approval being overturned. Following that, there would be a separate planning process that state government, in all likelihood, because it's growth area, would run to determine what the most appropriate zone for that land would be. In all likelihood, if they did agree and decide that it could be capable for development, it would be zoned UGZ, and a precinct structure plan would determine what would happen.
Mario, please, one more time, and I'll have to ask you at least, mate. Please.
Mr. Mayor, with the greatest respect, there's been tons of work, for a technical term, over two decades virtually, about a regional park for this area, and within 30 seconds or less we're going to overturn Council's support for that regional park when we have...
Councillor Ramsey, we're debating right now by the sound of it.
No.
Well, if you've got a question, please ask it. If not, please sit down.
The environmental concerns are what's worrying me, and how we can change something strategic as a regional park in 30 seconds.
Back. You have a vote, Councillor Ramsey. You can change it that way, one way or another.
Yeah.
We have a motion on the table from Councillor Madelick. Does any councillor, before going further, want any further clarification? If not, I'd like a signature for the motion if it's available.
I have an alternate to the alternate. I'm so sorry, but...
Let's deal with the first one first, so we can get a seconder. Is there a seconder to Councillor Madelick's motion? Sorry? Yeah, if there's no seconder. No seconder lies on the table, it's lapsed. It's not lying on the table.
If it does lapse, could I have that noted in the minutes, please?
Of course you can.
Thank you. And who voted for and that it was lapsed?
Well, actually,
I just want my residents to know that I fought for them.
There's no seconder, so there's no motion. Councillor Bushy.
As long as it's noted.
I've already started writing it, so it's not going to be too difficult, but you'll understand what I'm trying to say. That Council supports some areas for regional park, because I believe that that's really important for a growing area. However, encourages state and federal government to consult and understand the landowner's wishes for the usage of their land, so that the government understands what the landowner's wishes are for usage of the land before just saying, no, we're going to put an overlay over it immediately.
I've already done the overlay.
Finished?
Yes.
Alternate move by Councillor Bushy. Does any council wish to second that?
Come on, guys.
Mr. Mayor, could I get that repeated?
Yep, so the council supports some areas for a regional park. However, encourages state and federal government to consult and understand the landowner's wishes for the usage of their land.
Councillor Kasich.
Mr. Mayor, I seek clarification. When we're saying some land, which land are we talking about precisely?
In what's being proposed in the Kaiwaikawe Regional Park precinct.
I see the Albanian land actually as a one which perhaps should stay as a park. I would support if we stipulate.
I'm not talking about individual land, as a whole. We understand there's a need for a park. It's growing at a massive rate, at a very fast rate. But consult with the local landowners first to see what they want to do, what their wishes are for their own land before proceeding.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to second that. I know mine's fallen through, so the closest, I guess, is this one.
Okay. Motion on the table with an adjustment by Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any council oppose the motion? Okay, we're going to debate. Councillor Bushy.
I'll reserve my further comments until I've heard from whoever's opposing.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have an alternate motion at the end of this, so...
No, just let's deal with this
first. I'm going to say, until such time as the boundaries have been identified and mapped and the full consultation with the landowners has taken place, this does not move.
Thank you. Councillor Medlett.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I basically said what I needed to say with my first notice of motion. I guess it didn't get up, so the next best thing would be for me to agree with Councillor Abushi's notice of motion to get me as close to what I originally intended for our residents. I don't care whose land that is, whether it's the Albanians, whether it's the private, whether I never liked the idea of having a regional park and having so many overlays in this area. My heart bleeds for these people, Mr. Mayor. There's so many, as Councillor Abushi said, there's so many overlays that the state and federal government put on the onus of our residents. We see that land is required, especially around the Caroline Springs area, which is just next door. I stick by with what I said. I want my residents to know that I fought for them, and whether the state government has wasted their millions and trillions of dollars to stamp out what they want to do with other people's land, that's really none of my concern, as Councillor Ramsey is now so, you know, she seems to be quite...
Please don't attack Councillor Ramsey.
No, I'm not attacking Councillor Ramsey. I'm not attacking, I'm just basically referring to her comments made about the state government, how much money they've spent. To me, I haven't been elected to represent the state government. I've been elected to represent my local residents, which I hope that they can now see that I'm doing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Kasich.
I don't think so that I have anything else to add, except that I would like just to see Albanian land to be a park. I'm not talking about any other land. Thank you.
Councillor Ramsey, you have
I mean, it's very difficult that... Can I just have one say? I wasn't supporting the state government. I mean, Councillor Madelix thought the word insist was too difficult, so I wonder who's representing the residents and not the Victorian government. When it comes down to it... It just seems like we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. There's PSPs and land anywhere between Caroline Springs and the township. They've identified pretty impressive environmental features on that land. It is not us for us. I mean, you can sit there and say you're going to support your local residents all you like, but I'd support my local residents doing, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's laws around these things. We can't go more than 110 on freeways. Even if you're... So at the end of the day, there's environmental land being identified. There's a regional park being identified for the Eastern Corridor. And it's been there since 2002, or identified since 2002. It has significant environmental grasslands on it, and now some people have purchased it, and I'd hate to think that money talks for the sake of the environment.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any other council wish to have any input into this? Well, let's put it to the vote. Councillor Bushy, do you wish to write a reply?
I'll reiterate my position that I absolutely support a regional park in our growing municipality. However, I think it's important that we understand the wishes of existing landowners in that region for whatever desires they have for their own land. I think they should have an ultimate say in what they do with the land they own. Just like the house that I owned, I want ultimate say on what it looks like. So long as this is the issue, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So long as it complies with, but I really do think in talking to a number of landowners in that region, that a lot of them haven't been heard, haven't been given an opportunity to meet with. There's a difference when a government sends a lower level employee to meet with a community group, but I think these residents deserve to meet with decision makers. And they should have an ability to impact the decision prior to a decision being made, because that is true consultation.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Mario, please leave the chamber. Mario! Mario, please leave the chamber. Thank you. Good night. Good night. In finishing off, I'd just like to say that I thought there'd been lots of discussions and meetings and planning stuff going on with this land, and I thought it was pretty much getting close to the end, so I think it's time to go to vote. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Madelick, and this is the alternate motion, the second alternate motion. All those in favour of the motion? All those in favour? All those against? I declare the alternate motion defeated.
Division, please.
Division called. All those in favour? Yes. Councillor Madelick, Councillor Bushy. All those against? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Turner, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendez. I declare the alternate motion defeated, and we go back to the original motion with one change of word.
Mr. Mayor, I've got an alternate motion. Mr. Mayor, I have the alternate motion. Noting that all councillors have part of the solution, I propose that the government come into full consultation with all the landowners and identify the boundaries and map it so everybody has surety to whose land, where it belongs, what it is, and what compensation is going to be paid. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'll ask. No. Councillor Hardy,
yes.
Is your motion that we make a submission along those lines? Is that what you're...
I propose the motion here that we oppose the state government's position here. We state that that the state government come to the table, talk to the residents, identify, it's similar, but it's identify and map the boundaries of the properties. So everybody has surety to the properties and understands what compensation, if any, is going to be paid. At this point in time, I don't want to debate it, but I will later, it just doesn't give surety to anything here stating whose property, whether it's Mario's or somebody else, how much of the property they're going to lose, because they're going to lose some of it.
Mm.
Mr. Mayor, can I get some clarification?
Of course.
This isn't our thing. This is the Commonwealth. We need to be
state government.
We need to be putting in a submission of some sort, because how? I mean, that's all we get to say. We either put in a submission or express our opinion, or we just buy out.
Councillor Ashley, I couldn't have said it any better. I'm happy to go with the submission, but it's got to state we oppose the state government's position, and we reimpose the position of that they come to the table and talk, negotiate, consult with the residents on what the boundaries are going to be, what they're proposing, because at this point in time there's nothing here. It's all airy-fairy, and there's no surety to what land you're going to have, if any, and there's no surety to what compensation you're going to be paid, if any. So those are the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle that are not expressed in this proposal. So at the end of the day, is it's simple. And in line with Councillor Ramsey has stated, that the state government does come to the table, does negotiate with the residents, does identify the land that they want for the council, for the park, and we're all for the park, by the way, and also map it, so everybody has surety.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Moved by Councillor Hardy, do I have a seconder for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I have clarification. I've got clarification.
I do have clarification.
Carry on, we've got all night. The night is on.
The alternate that Councillor Hardy has put up sounds the same as Councillor Ibushi's. So
Councillor Ibushi's was defeated, so we're going again, it looks like.
So it just depends on who brings up the notice of motion.
Well,
okay.
It's not been drawn on yet. We don't know if it's gone through.
I get it now.
You've still got to vote. You don't know if it's gone through or not.
Yeah.
Councillor Ramsey.
Let's not be too disrespectful to our mayor.
Can I
seek some clarification from the officers, whether it be our CEO, our General Manager for Planning and Development, or Ms. Mellon? When it comes to what Councillor Hardy has suggested, what are the ways? What's the way forward, and is it doable? Yeah.
From my perspective, yes, it's doable. If Council directs that that's the submission they wish to make, that's the submission we will make. Whether it addresses the central theme of the issues that officers have identified with the current proposal is debatable to some degree, but it would form the basis of a submission, and we would raise the issues, the various issues that Councillor Hardy outlined.
Now, how can I have a hamburger with the lot? How do I get a submission in there that identifies the gaps that the officers have picked up on, but captures the discussion that's been around this table?
If that's what you wished to achieve, Councillor, I would suggest that you would move a motion something along the lines that Council prepare a submission as outlined in the officer's report, and in addition thereto, calls on the state government to initiate a fresh round of engagement with all landowners to determine on the various matters that have been raised with the Council around this regional park issue. Something along those lines.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Hardy. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's always a reasonable sound coming from the CEO, and at this point in time, it's counsel that I would accept on the premise that in that submission, the identification and mapping of the land is crucial to all landowners. And if that's a primary position, along with the council, with the officers' reports, I'm happy to go that way in line with Councillor Ramsey. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I would just add one further point for consideration. The submission, as outlined, called for the state government for a fresh round of engagement, the identification and mapping of the regional park, with particular emphasis on the environmental being preserved, or do you know what I'm trying to say? The environmental, what's the word?
Value.
That's being preserved.
And through you, Mr. Mayor, the point fourth has got to be heavily, with a heavy consultation framework with the residents affected.
Yep, we've picked that.
I think that's already in.
Consultation, Mr. Mayor.
Insist. That was the word we needed to add in at the beginning, that's right. Okay, we're going to go to vote, guys.
Mr. Mayor, what's the difference between this one and what I propose? Isn't it the same?
The difference is, at this moment in time, yours was defeated.
You raise it, that's right, okay.
No, at this moment in time, yours was defeated. Okay, councillors, have a mover for the motion?
Did we have a seconder?
No, we just want to clarify that. Moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by...
I'll move it as long as the environmental values...
Councillor Hardy moved it.
I'll second it as long as the environmental values are being adhered to and preserved.
Mr. Mayor, can I just have the wording again for that motion?
You'll be lucky.
Because at the moment I'm a little bit confused.
Ms. Daniel, can you read out the wording, please? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I'll try and see if I'm ready to myself from the CEO. That council should prepare a submission outlining that council is opposed to the creation of a regional park and further amending
the terms. No. That's back to the original.
It was a submission outlined in the officer's report.
The council make a submission generally in accordance with the recommendation of the officer, and further calling on the state government to reinitiate consultation with affected landowners to clearly map and define the areas to be included in a regional park with an emphasis on preserving the environmental values.
Aye, Bullseye. Okay. No, that isn't what you think.
Oh, hang on.
It's close.
We're getting this one.
Very good, councillors. Very good, councillors. Councillor Hardy.
Yes.
In the room, please.
Sorry?
In the room. That's what they say to kids, concentrate.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Ramsey's saying that's not what was said.
I don't believe that was the essence of Councillor Bushy.
Well, that doesn't matter, that's gone by. Let's not debate Councillors Bushy's again. Councillors, come on, let's go. It's getting late. It's 10 to 9 already. Okay. Moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by
Councillor Ramsey.
Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour of the motion? All those against? I declare the motion carried.
Can I call for a division?
You can have a division. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Medlick, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Bushy.
Oh no.
What's wrong? And against, Councillor Turner.
Thank you for your patience, Mr. Mayor.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
I declare it carried.
If you're going to vote against it, shouldn't we have gone into debate?
No.
Why? You guys did enough debating. Oh. I had an opinion. Nobody asked my opinion. You mean I've got to agree if we don't debate? Let's move on. 12, 10. About planning application PA 2017. 5871/1 development of land with 10 double-storey dwellings at 6 John Street, Melton. Councillor Ramsey.
I have an alternate recommendation, if I may do so. Read it now.
Carry on, Councillor Ramsey.
That council issue a notice of refusal to grant a permit on the following grounds. One, the scale and intensity of the proposal is considered to be out of character with the surrounding area, particularly the minimal separation between buildings, and the overall built form and visual bulk, which presents the impression that the development is being squeezed onto the site, which is symptomatic of an overdevelopment. And two, the proposal does not satisfactorily address the objectives and standards of the risk code pursuant to Clause 55 of the Melton Planning Scheme with respect to the neighbourhood character, dwelling diversity, side and rear setbacks and overlooking.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, I'll second that motion.
You're a bit quick. You're a little bit quick. Does any councillor require any clarification on this motion? Do you have a seconder for the motion?
Councillor Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll second that motion. I'd like to talk to that motion too.
Councillor Hardy. All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Councillor Hardy, do you still want to speak to that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Please keep it short.
Thank you. I'll hurry it up. The risks of overdevelopment, fully realise the economic potential for Melton, the Western region, investment in transport, schools, TAFE, universities and industry is vital. Opportunities for the booming population for advancement to advance can be created by providing local jobs and education. Without investment in the community, social disadvantagement, public health issues will only worsen, service provision will be overstretched, unemployment will rise and people will be outstretched. Objectives of good planning: to locate the density development in areas where it can take advantage of available physical and social infrastructure. To ensure service infrastructure has the capacity or can adapt to create or cater for new residential development. The development should not overload the capacity of public infrastructure, including open space and social and community. There is a host of other things that go along with this, Mr. Mayor, but the bottom line is there is a way forward. We in Melton, living within 600 metres of a major piece of infrastructure, are prone to overdevelopment. That's half of Melton. If you've got a block of the size which we have, you could have similar occurrence. What we need to do is we need to go back into our planning and we need to get a variation to the local planning, or we need to apply to the Minister for a review and go to the Premier and use this particular street, which is only half a street, Mr. Mayor. It is going to have 50 townhouses located in this street. The parking alone, the street, the overscale, let's say there's a host of issues to it. But the bottom line is a half a street cannot take 50 units. So all I can say is that this, along with many developments, need to be reviewed under a new planning objective. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, before you move on to the next one, could I call a division, please?
All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Ibushi, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Turner. I declare it carried. I am 12-12.
12-11,
Mr. Mayor. 12-11? See, I already think we were going. 12-11, plan application PA 2017-5873, development of land with 18 double-storey dwellings, a proposed two-lot, 17 Jones Street, Melton.
Mr. Mayor, with your indulgence, I have an alternative motion for this item, and it reads basically exactly the same as the last one. The council note of issue a notice of refusal to grant a permit on the following grounds. The scale and intensity of the proposal is considered to be out of character with the surrounding area, particularly the minimal separation between buildings, and the overall built form and visual bulk, which presents the impression that the development is being squeezed onto the site, which is symptomatic of an overdevelopment. And two, the proposal does not satisfactorily address the objectives and standards of the REZ code pursuant to Clause 55 of the Melton Planning Scheme with respect to neighbourhood character, dwelling diversity, side and rear setbacks and overlooking.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does anybody require any clarification of Councillor Ramsey's motion or alternate motion? Nope. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, do you have a seconder for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'll second that, and I'd like to add a paragraph afterwards.
You're not going to speak on it again, are you?
You're not going to read the same paragraph, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I'll keep you around.
Do you mean you need something added to the motion?
No, I'll just speak to the motion. One paragraph. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
No.
All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
And I'd like to call a division, Mr. Mayor.
Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. Again. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You've got half a minute.
Okay, councils can prepare amendments to the planning schemes to achieve a planning outcome to support densities in particular areas to achieve better outcomes for community and, where practicable, to achieve better strategic outcomes for the community overall and also density levels. It's within councils' ambit to prepare variations if they so desire.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 1212. No, so just a statement. 1212. Grand Suburb Fund 2018-2019. Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to outline proposed applications to the State Government Growing Suburbs Fund and in particular focus on the priorities for those applications. Council will recall that the State Government have recently announced for the forthcoming financial year a continuation of the Growing Suburbs Fund, and the 10 interface councils around the outer perimeter of Melbourne are eligible under that fund, and that obviously includes the City of Melton. Mr. Mayor, the report at the top of page 675 outlines the three previous rounds, and you'll see from that that Council has been particularly successful in those rounds and has achieved nearly $19 million of funding through this program, which has been vital in being able to deliver important community infrastructure. The Growing Suburbs Fund includes specific guidelines or criteria which are detailed on page 676 and 77, and each of those criteria is weighted. And at a higher level, the criteria are: why is this project required, who will benefit and how, what will be delivered, how will the project be delivered, and the extent of council and community support for the project. Mr. Mayor, one of the features of the previous funding rounds has been council's ability to be able to deliver on the success that we've achieved in the funding over the three previous financial years, and that will certainly hold us in good stead in terms of the current applications that we will have going forward. The process and the timing of the applications are defined on page 677. Applications close on the 9th of July. Formal announcements will be made by the State Government prior to the election in August of 2018. Works would need to commence in September of next year, and there's a three-year window in which to complete the works. Mr. Mayor, the proposed applications are summarised on page 678 and are effectively derived from Council's Capital Works Program. And in summary, they relate to works at McPherson Park, the Melton Central Community Centre, the Melton Indoor Stadium, Carillon Springs Community Space, a series of play spaces throughout the municipality, and finally the Ainsbury Recreation Reserve. And I should point out that Council is also required to, at a minimum, match funding for each of these applications, so we need to be mindful of that in terms of lodging those applications and the commitment that it provides in terms of council financial commitments going forward. So, Mr. Mayor, the recommendation is presented on page 604 in terms of the applications to be made and the priority in which they are intended to be lodged. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Any councillor require any further clarification?
Mr. Mayor, can I make a statement, please, just to thank the officers for
question or a statement?
A statement. Am I able to do that?
If you want to move it, and then you can make a statement then, be the best time.
Oh, I'd just like to move a statement that we offer congratulations to the officers for the great work they've done over the past few years in these Growth Suburb Fund grants and the success that they've had.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes.
I'd like to second it, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
So, moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor,
1213.
Could I just seek one bit of clarification before you move on? Is that note of thanks going to be like a dot point two on
no,
the...
No, it was just
a thank
just
you.
A statement, okay. I believe. You voted for that when you didn't know. Councillor Ramsey.
Well, you were going too quickly for me, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Ramsey's question was the motion to adopt them and start for them.
Mm-hmm. I thought we adopted the motion. Oh, okay. So we take it. Oh, okay. Councillor, you are happy that that was the motion called for and accepted, yes?
Yes.
Happy, Councillor Ramsey?
Just checking.
Okay, that's what it was in my head.
Do you require...
I'm keeping you...
No, it's all good. As long as you voted for the right thing, that's the main thing.
Do you require 1-12 to be tabled?
Can we move on?
Yes, let's move on.
Okay. 12-13, contract for award, contract number 18/037, Melton Waves Leisure Centre, external cladding refurbishment.
Mr. Mayor, can I move the recommendation in this report?
Please? And I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Moodlake. Does any councillor oppose?
Let's go, Cathy.
All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
I'd like to thank the Manager for Operations and his team for working very hard on this one, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. 12-15. Melton Recycling Facility. Mr. Stokes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, councillors. This report is for you to consider the adoption and funding of the Melton Recycling Facility Master Plan, including the proposed operating model. Council currently operates the Melton Recycling Facility located in Ferris Road. Operation of this site in its current manner results in an annual operating cost to council of approximately $5.1 million per annum. The continued operation of the site in this manner will result in a facility that is unable to meet the needs of the community and would result in increased level of dissatisfaction from customers of the facility through delays, increased costs and poor perceptions of the operating practices employed at the facility. Councillors, in 2017, Council commissioned a specialist consultancy firm, Rortec, to undertake a review of the facility, and the key finding of this review was that the site faced significant limitation due to its current operating capacity, and the impacts of significant population growth in the region would place limitations on its ability to effectively function into the future. Without additional resource recovery activities and infrastructure investment, the facility's residual waste disposal capacity would be reached in around 2020/21, so in 3 years' time, councillors. To address this more significant capacity issue, Rortec recommended that a large shed with residents dropping off waste be constructed. This shed would see waste dropped off on the floor and with a top-loading bulk haul facility for transport of the waste to landfill. This type of resource recovery operation exists in numerous sites across the country and accords with the Sustainability of Victoria's Guide to Better Practice for Resource Recovery Centres. Council consequently engaged a specialist consultant, Tomkin Consulting, to develop a master plan and business case for the Melton Recycling Facility upgrade, providing design options and cost estimates for the upgrade of the facility to meet current and future needs of council and the community. This master plan is attached in Appendix 1 of the report and the business case attached in Appendix 2. The delivery of the master plan also opens up the opportunity for council to separate the operation of the resource recovery component, which is the resale and recycling component of the site, from the waste transfer station component. Councillors, commercial contractors placed in charge of these recycling areas often only pursue the removal of recyclables from the waste stream where there is a clear profit to be made, and there are groups that specialise in running these facilities with the aim to providing not only a lower operating cost but also seeking a more improve social, economic and environmental outcome at a broader level. The works council is required to complete this upgrade in the master plan have been scoped and costed by Tomkin, and the total cost of these works is $7.7 million, and this includes a contingency of 20%. The business case, as referred to in Appendix 2, assessed the resultant operating costs that would follow the implementation of this upgrade, the increased revenue and reduced operating costs associated with increased resource recovery and diversion from waste from landfill will see a reduction in the annual operating costs from the current $5.1 million to approximately $4 million per annum. This return of approximately $1 million per annum to Council's budget is significant and makes the funding of this project an attractive proposition. Council's funding is sought for through the Capital Works Program in 2019-2020 and through to 2020 and 21 financial years, with a view to having the infrastructure commissioned by June 30, 2021. Councillors, to that end, I put to you the recommendation that, as stated in the report, that Council adopt the Master Plan in Appendix 1 and fund the works in the Capital Works Program that would commence in 1920 financial year. Officers would prepare the new Melton Recycling Facility Operations contract in line with the proposed upgrade and advertise the new contract for this operation in the 18-19 financial year, with the three key components itemised in the report. And finally, that we request expressions of interest for the materials recovery area and resale shop, and consider the feasibility of a community enterprise partnership in conjunction with the tender of the new contract. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor. I would like to...
Councillor Kasich.
I would like to move this one. Thank you.
Does any council require any further clarification?
No clarification, Mr. Mayor, but I just wanted to thank the officers again for this exceptional work with this one, especially Donna Shembri, our coordinator for waste management, and her manager for... I know you and I are very passionate about this area, and it's so fantastic to see that we're doing more and more to more work in this space to make it accessible and relevant to our residents. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a move for the motion.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to move it, and congratulations, Bess and Donna. Thank you.
Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that, if I may. Can I say a couple of words at the end of it?
Moved by Councillor Kasich, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Councillor Ramsey, quickly, please.
Mr. Mayor, I know what a wonderful pet project this facility has been of yours, and identified by each and every councillor here how important the recycling facility and upgrade, it's essential to our existence. Again, I want to echo the words of my fellow councillors. I want to actually thank GM Mr. Shannon, Manager Les Stokes, Donna and her wonderful team for the power of work that they've done. The presentation that was brought to Council a couple of weeks back went to great lengths to explain the stages and explore all the different options Victoria-wide, I think. So thank you very, very much to each and every one of you. Job well done. And to the Mayor for leading the charge in the recycling facility, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Move on. 1216, Action for Equity 2018-2022, a sexual reproductive health strategy for Melbourne's West. Matt Wilson, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to present the regional strategy, Action for Equity 2018 to 2022, a sexual and reproductive health strategy for Melbourne's West, to Council for consideration and endorsement. The strategy is a four-year sexual and reproductive health promotion strategy for the Western region of Melbourne, and it is attached at Appendix 1 for Council's review. It's the second such strategy for the Western region, and the first was dated 2013 to 2017, and this is a second iteration of that. Council was a supporter of the first strategy. It is led by Women's Health West and has been prepared in partnership with a range of stakeholders in the community health sector, also academics in the field and state and local government partners.
The strategy incorporates a range of primary prevention initiatives that work to improve health outcomes for the community, and in particular the strategy articulates a vision for the community where everyone has freedom to express their gender, sex, sexuality and individuality, the right to healthy and respectful relationships and a pleasurable sex life, the right to control decision making, to support active and informed decisions about their sexual and reproductive health free from violence, including reproductive coercion, stigma and discrimination, and equitable access to health services and programs that are inclusive and culturally sensitive and appropriate. Further to that, the strategy is broken down into six key themes, which have been recognised as the key areas to be addressed to achieve sustainable long-term outcomes, and these themes are gender norms, cultural and societal norms and values, violence, discrimination and stigma, socio-economic status, public policy and the law, and provision of culturally appropriate accessible healthcare and services. This new strategy requires formal endorsement from Council to cement the partnership and ensure Council is in a position to assist with the implementation of the four-year plan. There are no additional financial implications for Council as this is considered to be a business as usual activity in its current form. As mentioned before, Council currently or has previously supported the first iteration of this strategy, and officers are currently involved in the implementation of that first action plan. So acceptance or endorsement of this strategy would be considered as a business as usual activity financially. And in terms of consultation, it's been prepared with the range of partners from the health sector as stated, and further to that, officers will be involved in the development of annual action plans to implement the strategy if adopted. Subsequent to that, Council has the option to endorse the recommendation as put in this report, which I'll read in a moment, or not to endorse the strategy. And the recommendation as put by officers is that Council endorses the Regional Strategy Action for Equity 2018 to 2022, a sexual and reproductive health strategy for Melbourne's West.
Thank you, Mark. Does any Councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Happy to second, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Bushy. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 1217, Mark Wilson again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report, Council, is to present to you the proposed changes to the Community Grants Program following the first year of its implementation, which was in itself following a review conducted in 2017, and to seek Council endorsement to proceed with those recommended changes. As you know, our Council is committed to building resilient people and communities through opportunities to participate in community life, and the proposed changes to the Community Grants Program supports Council in achieving this commitment. We have reached the end of the first year of the implementation of an enhanced grants program, and it has proven to be well received by community. And the program has achieved full subscription of funds available across all the programs contained within that that overall program. Through that period of 12 months, officers received a range of feedback from community who were subscribers to the grants, panel members, which is inclusive of community officers and council members, and have proposed a range of amendments to the program to further enhance its effectiveness going forward from this point. As mentioned previously, the program itself was reviewed and Council adopted a range of recommendations at the ordinary meeting held on the 29th of May 2017. And at that particular meeting, Council resolved to receive this report 12 months later in reference to those changes, and obviously to seek any further amendments if required. The changes that are proposed to the program are included at Appendix 1 for Council's consideration, and this report includes a summary of those recommendations, which I don't propose to read out in full. However, I just draw to Council's attention the point 1 on the top of page 864, where there is a proposal for a reallocation of funds, whereby we propose to reduce the semi-annual grants allocation by $10,000 to allow more funds to be available in the responsive grants category. The effect of that decision, Council, would be to have a total of $140,000 available in the semi-annual grants program, which would be distributed across two rounds of $70,000 each, and that would also effectively increase the responsive grants program or category of the program from the current total at $25,000 to the proposed total at $35,000. Council, that's on the basis of the pattern of subscriptions to those various aspects of the program over the past 12 months, and that's the reason as to why Council officers are recommending that to you tonight. I would further draw your attention to points 3 and 4, where officers are recommending a minor reduction in the total amounts available under the responsive grants and the establishment grants categories. I won't go into the full detail of that as it's written, but suffice to say that the typical total costs involved under those two categories are less than the currently available maximum amount of $2,500. So officers are proposing a change there in order to effectively stretch the available funds across more applicants. In terms of the current program, as a point of reference for Council, that is attached at Appendix 2 so that you can see what we currently have in place and how that compares to the proposed changes at Appendix 1 and in the contents of this report. There are no financial considerations should Council adopt this, the only financial implication is the reallocation of the $10,000 as described. It will not increase the total amount available. The recommendations contained are a result of the feedback received from applicants and assessment panel members, and also as a result of officers monitoring the quality of applications received in the past 12 months. The options before Council are to endorse the recommendations as presented and thus approve the 12-month review and the changes inherent to proceed, or to not approve the outcome of the 12-month review of the program. And that would therefore result in the current program being retained in its current form. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Matt. Does any council require any further clarification?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Clarification, Councillor Andrew?
Yes, definitely. The schools are still eligible to apply as long as they've got a as long as they're partnering with the community. Is that right?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, schools are eligible to be a partner of a primary applicant.
Of a primary.
So,
applicant.
Just as a point of.
So it can't be on school grounds, even if the primary applicant, such as, I don't know, a community garden or something, wants to do it on school grounds?
For you, Mr. Mayor, just as a point of clarification, the project itself can be done on school... A funded project is able to be done on school grounds or with school community. Okay. The primary applicant needs to be a community-based or other organisation.
Follow that. That's good. And I just want to, under dot point 4, it says... Typically, establishment costs for a new group, including insurance and incorporation fees, are under $1,000. Is that has a lot of research gone into that, so it's evidence-based?
True, Mr. Mayor, yes, it is evidence-based.
Okay.
That's the direct advice of officers in the review of the past 12 months of the program.
So if the cost of living, like everything else, hits insurances and other things, and we've capped off at 1,000, and they actually come to us with revised costs of about 1,200. Have we got the flexibility to still look at that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, as proposed at point four, it proposes to reduce the available amount under establishment grants to a total of $1,500 rather than the $2,500. Okay. It's the view of officers that that would cover the relevant costs.
Okay, so let's go 16 rather than 1,200.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, point of clarification, 1,600 rather than 1,500?
Oh, no. I don't want to change it, but if someone came to us with insurance documents and establishment costs that have, like, I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, we weren't expecting the price of electricity to skyrocket. With insurance claims going the way they are, there's likely to be a hike in those sort of things. If someone comes to us and they're just partially over, or we see a trend that means insurances are going up, have we got the flexibility to adjust that number?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it would be my suggestion, Councillor, that you would set the maximum amount eligible at a comfortable figure for yourselves to address what your concerns are.
And it would be reviewed rather in 12
months. If I may, rather than seek a case-by-case flexibility, as you'd appreciate, overseeing the distribution of community funds through programs such as this requires a level of administrative transparency. And so I would just suggest that you would set the figure, if you're not comfortable with 1,500, you'd set it at 16, 17, 2,000.
This will be reviewed in 12 months' time. So if we see the trend increasing exponentially, we'll be able to adjust it accordingly.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, council budget time, council would have the option of doing that, but we would need to make a subsequent adjustment through council to the rules that apply.
Yep.
Thank you, Mark. Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move this and commend the officers, especially this department. There is a lot of work that goes into grants, as we all are aware, and I think these small changes will make a big difference.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Seconded by?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Okay, items 13 and 14, reports of delegates and council representation. Councillor Hardy.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Okay, the summary report on the 30th of May, the Reconciliation Week at Melton Community Hall. June 1 was the WAVES reference group. 5th of June was Environmental Day, World Day. Thank you very much. I represented you and the speech. The 6th of June was the Community Safety Advisory Committee. 7th of June was Lead West, the Future of West, the Parliament House. That gave an overview to the western suburbs, what we were trying to drive, and hospitals and TAFEs and universities were well represented in that conversation. The 8th of June, Minister Hutchins launched Council's Quality and Respect 2030 Strategy Violence Against Women. 13th of June, the Policy Review Committee. 13th of June, the Indian Community Profile, where the Mayor and myself were at the Melton Library. 16th of June, All Poor's Charity Dinner, West Waters. 17th to the 20th was a big week, and that was the National General Assembly Local Government in Canberra, where not only myself, but the CEO, the Mayor and Councillor Bushy attended, and we made good use of the time, being exposed to the Leader of the Opposition, Bill Shorten, Prime Minister, Ministers, and also other relevant politicians and also bureaucrats.
22nd of June, Mountain Venture Business Summit at Ainsbury. That was one of the very star performers of the month. It was an exceptional day, and I'd put to all people that the next time it comes up, you should attend. It's well worth the effort. And 22nd of June, Rotary Caroline Springs Club Changeover Dinner. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Kasich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the 29th of May, Section 223 meeting, 30th of June, meeting with the residents, with some local landowners. On the 14th of June, citizenship ceremony. On the 16th of June for Caroline Springs. 17th of June with yourself, with your wife, my wife and myself. Celebration at St. Michael, annual celebration at Ethiopian Church in Ravenhall. 21st of June, meeting with the residents on some issues with the body corporate in Caroline Springs. And 24th, Caroline Springs Community Markets. That's Lake Caroline Springs. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kasich. Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'll make it quick. Thursday the 31st, the Ambulance Victoria Iftar Dinner at McCure Hotel, sponsored by the Islamic Council of Victoria and the Australian Intercultural Society, with the board member for Ambulance Victoria being the former Victorian Commissioner for Police, Ken Lay. It was a fantastic evening, and Ambulance Victoria rotate these dinners every period of Ramadan, and we were fortunate enough to be able to host them in Caroline Springs, and there was about 200 plus guests from all over Victoria. Sunday the 3rd of June, the Spring Hills Football Club Think Pink Day. Monday the 4th of June, the Western Region Youth Integration Forum at an event centre in Hoppers Crossing. The forum is a result of my notice of motion that addresses an integrated systems approach to deliver improved and sustainable outcomes for at-risk young people in the region. That was a bit of a highlight for me this month, because I got to, really see and hear from the local youth leaders and youth service providers in the Western region, and talk about a way of working together as opposed to in our individual silos. And I'm hoping that through our collaboration we'll continue to improve access for young people, especially those who are on the fringe and at risk. Wednesday the 13th, meeting with officers and residents regarding parking issues along Bungaree Track in Burnside Heights. Sunday the 17th to Wednesday the 20th, as Councillor Hardy mentioned, the National General Assembly of Local Government at the Convention Centre in Canberra. And Thursday the 21st, Councillor Maidlick and I met, and some council officers met with the President for Burnside Bears Football Club, Justin Pegram, regarding the club's future needs for their region, for their club, and just to understand the statistics and participation levels at that club. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Section 223 meeting, the Reconciliation Week afternoon tea, the Melton Goati program, which was fantastic to see the artwork on those cards. Make sure everybody goes down to get some, because they're free of charge. They're at both the libraries and some of our wonderful young leaders in the community. Then they have some special needs, painted those and put a lot of love, sweat and tears into it. And congratulations to Councillor Carley for the having brought that initiative into council a number of years ago. The West World Film Fest, I came in a portion of the way through, but the bits I did see were quite gruesome and scary, but quite talented and good. I didn't quite catch on that the theme was vases up until halfway through, but I'll learn next time. Citizenship ceremony was fantastic as always, with 90 new citizens becoming Australian. The changeovers for Rotary, it's going on thick and fast at the moment. We had Max Fraser, Wendy Gatsby and Pauline Dempsey did an absolutely formidable job with the three rotaries in the city of Melton, and they are to be superseded by Lynn Leonard, Reg Eustace and Christine, and I can't think of Christine's last name, but they have got a task ahead of them, but I'm sure they're all more than capable. The celebration of Refugee Week. Now, I said this outside and I will say it again. Mr. Matt Wilson, your team throughout all stops. It was absolutely sensational. To Tony Ball, to Essan and Fran who organised it, to Sunita, Leanne, Christy and Jan Webb that were integrating some of council services on that day, to Malez who absolutely brought the house down as a young student from Melton Secondary studying law, to the students of Brookside College. They need to be commended. A lot of them were coming from war-torn countries such as Iran and Iraq. They were telling their individual stories of having to go to places like Jordan, Dubai and Turkey to settle there for a number of months before they could make the quest to their new country, which was Australia. They told of the struggles in having to learn the English language within 6 to 12 months to be able to take up their right to go to school, and they are excelling. They were outstanding. To Layla Rhines, who sang two beautiful songs and brought the house down, she had tears in my eyes. The Asante Dance Theatre Company were absolutely sensational. Hang on, is it just me?
3 minutes, Councillor.
Okay. I thought everybody...
Quickly.
Okay. Oh. Venture Melton Business Summit. Stephen Yarwood and Stephen Tite were futuristic strategists. They were fantastic. Bernadette Schwartz MC'd and was brilliant. Mr. Bean, and to your team in the economic development section need to be commended. We had over 200 businesses there, local businesses.
Thank you, Councillor Rumsey.
That took
Rumsey.
A lot from it.
Can Thank I just... Thank you, Councillor Rumsey. One more. No, we're nearly a minute over already. Councillor Mendez? Nobody else has.
Okay. During the last month, I've actually attended the citizenship ceremony, which was great to see many of our residents in their national gowns again, actually be celebrating becoming citizens of Australia, but also of Melton. The 15th of June was a fantastic morning for us attending the Western Highway Actions Committee to watch our new staff member putting pressure on Vic Rose. It was absolutely tremendous, and it was great to hear them actually say that they're considering the two interchanges in Melton in the very near future, and I won't say what they are because it might create some controversy. Caroline Springs Hockey Club are growing at such a great length. They're actually doing it again on Saturday. If you want to get down to Bridge Road Children's Centre on Saturday morning to watch the men play in the men's house round. It's a fantastic event to watch just their juniors and the men. They've also gone up in a division in the last 12 months and are actually succeeding at winning games that they thought they couldn't possibly achieve that in. Burnside Hobbs Football Club, Ladies' Day. I'm sure the two councillors either side of me would say the entertainment was extremely interesting and it was probably best not to keep eye contact at any point in time. And yesterday, the arts team here at Melton deserve a great credit. Over the last 12 months, my role in the Arts Committee has been one of great respect for the people that work here, the work that goes into the different arts. They've drawn every member of community in painting to woodwork, to artwork in terms of weaving. Yesterday was fantastic. It was just a basic frame that's been established in the Melton Library, and it's still up for another week if you want to go and have a look at it. And to see the kids and adults sitting there and just weaving in such a calm manner, it was drawing every member of the library into it. But, you know, as people were walking in the door, they weren't going to borrow books. They were actually just going straight to the artwork and participating. And I'm sure Councillor Turner would agree that it was an excellent exhibition, and it's one that the art team should be really respectful of and be appreciated for. And I hope we do more of it in the near future.
Thank you, Councillor Mendez. Councillor Medley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got my timer on, so I'll make sure that I'm under 3 minutes. The Disability Advisory Committee, it was our community representative's last committee
for them being on the term for 2 years. So I'd like to thank Les, Leslie, Des, Michael and Pepsi for a great job that they have done whilst they were on the Disability Advisory Committee for the last 2 years, and also for volunteering their time and their dedication on this committee. They've given so much to their feedback and their experiences to make the committee what it is. Lifelong Learning Project Working Group. The dates for the Lifelong Learning Festival will be Friday the 5th to the 7th of October. Council will have an app for this event to make bookings and seeing what's on offer much easier, and it'll be all across the municipality, so not just the township or the Eastern Corridor, will be everywhere, Diggers Rest, Rockbank, everywhere. The Community Learning Board. The Lakeview Senior College Principal mentioned the great feedback he received from Council's Careers Expo. And Troy spoke about the successful grant that Council received called the, I think it's the Pierre Gorman Award, a $25,000 grant for library services for people with a learning disability, which will be used for the next chapter book club. So that's great. The Go Arty program, as Councillor Ramsey mentioned, was a great initiative from Councillor Lara Carley. And to see the expressions on those kids' faces was amazing. And the just revealing their artwork and how excited they were was just fantastic to see. I attended the Western Base Strategic Session, the Ainsbury Homestead Venture Melton Business Summit. Mr. Peter Bean, please pass on a huge thank you to your team. They had done, I was blown away. They did an exceptional job, especially having Todd Sampson as a guest speaker, but the other speakers were fantastic too. But just learnt a great deal, a lot, great networking, very, very professional. So just pass on that those congratulations to your team. Burnside Bears Ladies Day Out with Councillor Mendes and Councillor Ramsey. I'm just going to say yes, the entertainment was interesting, and I'll leave it at that. And the Caroline Springs Rotary changeover dinner. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medlich. I'll be fairly brief, as usual. It's fantastic, Police Melton, to be a councillor and get invited to so many exciting things. I'll just pick out a few things because quite a lot of us have done the same things, but I'd like to thank our officers for the amount of work they put in, a lot of the events they run. We've had some fantastic events this month, and I'd just like to thank officers across the board for that. I'm not going to pick anyone out in particular. I'll just pick a few things out. Melton Go Arty program was a fantastic day. The artwork the kids produced was fantastic. On the 2nd of June, I went to the Westworld Film Fest with a few other councillors, and it was good to see the films our youth are making in our community. It was fantastic. Run under the YAC grant, I believe. I attended the Western Region Youth Integration Forum with three other councillors, and that was a good afternoon, and we're hoping that we'll have the forum next year. We've put our hand up because next year is going to be a youth related forum, and so we've actually asked if we can have next year's. Keep our fingers crossed, because that would be a really good one to have. Equality and Respect Strategy launch at the CS Gallery on the 8th of June. Citizenship Ceremony was another great night, another 90 new citizens to our community. On the week of the 5th of June, I attended Interface in Parliament House, which Interface Week, which is in different mayors from around the Interface Councils have the opportunity to address different ministers on behalf of the Interface Council. So we attended a few meetings for that with various state members, which seemed to be quite, felt fruitful. You never know until you see the budget. Well, citizenship ceremony we talked about. The NGA local government I attended with Councillor Hardy, Councillor Abushi and our CEO. We had many meetings with different people, but probably the ones you guys would know from earlier would be Catherine King and Brendan O'Connor, although there was many other opportunities with other MPs, and there was many other options to... We actually visited Parliament House for question time, which was a disaster, but never mind. On the 22nd of June, the Venture Melton Business Summit was a great day. I think everybody there got a lot out of the day, and the Chaco Caro presentation at the libraries. They were doing it over the two libraries, which was the weaving with, I think it was wool, So with the actual finish of that instead of a launch, which was fantastic. Thank you. We'll move on to section 15. Notice of the motion. 15.1, Councillor Medlick.
Thank you, Mr.
Motion
Mayor.
Motion 566, sorry.
Thank you. I would like to move a motion that council officers report on any savings identified to date on the City Vista Sports Project and costings for items previously removed from the specifications during the value management process, with recommendation on what, if any, elements could be reinstated to the project.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Bushy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Item 15.2, notice motion 567, Councillor Ramsey.
That council please investigate a speed hump near the vicinity of 54 Westlake Drive, Melton West, to deter hooning behaviour.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I second that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare all those in favour. I declare the motion carried. 15.3, motion 568, Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That council officers write to Vic Roads in relation to the countless accidents on the corner of Caroline Springs Boulevard and Commercial Roads, Caroline Springs, and discuss options to reconfigure the traffic signal cycle at this intersection. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy.
I would like to second.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Item 16, councillors, questions without notice.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to
Councillor Mendes.
Get the officer, the relevant officer, to give me some updates on the Diggers Rest Hotel and where it's at in terms of its development.
Mr. Sharon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council has received a planning permit application for the redevelopment of that site, which would involve or would include the restoration of the Bluestone Hotel, which is obviously in ruins and has been for a number of years. The proposal also involves the establishment of a motel and other associated tourism activities. The applicant has been requested to provide further information. Once that's been submitted, the application will be publicly advertised with a call for submissions, and then the matter will come before council for consideration. But it's very pleasing to see that something could be happening with that site.
Thank you, Mr. Sharon.
Can I just ask another question? Will there be any consultation with the residents?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, the application will be widely advertised, including engagement with the Community Residents Association, So, yes, there will be a lot of consultation.
Thank you, Mr. Shine. Councillor Ramsey.
I'll further that theme. What further information is being requested? Because the planning permit was actually applied for last year during my MEL term, and I want to know. And it looked very impressive, yes, and it would be a great thing, but what further information is being requested?
Through Mr. Mayor, it's not particularly complex as I understand. It primarily relates to the heritage elements of the hotel and how that will be managed through the design and construction process. So it's that element of information that we're still awaiting.
So it's the external structure that's still in existence, those walls and...
The Bluestone ruins, yes.
Okay. I was under the impression that had been dealt with.
No, Mr. Mayor, there's still information required in terms of the heritage elements of what I've just spoken about, and that will then enable the application to be advertised publicly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shane. Councillor Medley.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question. What is Council's plan to ensuring the residents at Burnside Retirement Village will be able to safely turn onto Westwood Drive, which is already an extremely busy road, once Westwood Drive Bridge is connected and prior to Vic Roads taking over the road?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors will be aware that the bridge over the Corroy Creek is currently well under construction and will be completed early in the new year, and that road will then be open for traffic. Traffic volumes on Westwood Drive will increase significantly, and that will result in a corresponding drop in traffic volumes on Caroline Springs Boulevard, which has always been intended. That will present some issues, though, for residents on Westwood Drive. As an example of works we're undertaking at the moment on Westwood Drive is we've been undertaking significant asphalt rehabilitation south of the retirement village to ensure that the road can handle the additional volumes of traffic. We are undertaking an assessment currently of the full length of Westwood Drive to assess property accesses to Westwood Drive, particularly high volume locations such as the retirement village and other key intersections, to determine what works are needed and the priorities in which they need to occur. There will, however, be a situation where properties such as, certainly in the shorter term, the retirement village, they may need to be to change their point of access and egress to their property. They do have a roundabout both north and south of their access, main access point currently, and certainly in the interim they may need to exit the property, go around the roundabout and then come back, so there will be some inconvenience, but relatively minor. The roundabouts are in quite close proximity to the main gate to the facility. But as I said, we are undertaking a more detailed investigation of the whole length of the road and will provide recommendations to council about what works are needed going forward.
Thank you,
Mr. Shannon. Councillor Ramsey.
Could I please get an update, and I apologise now, Mr. Shannon, because I didn't give you the heads up, in regards to what sort of treatment may be likely, or is there any update on the Norton Drive intersection with High Street?
Through Mr. Mayor, yes, I, along with another number of other officers, met with the regional manager of VicRose last week, and unfortunately it's become clear that the intersection works that are planned at that location, which are traffic lights, which are the responsibility of VicRoads as a declared main road at that intersection, have not been funded in the upcoming financial year in the state government budget. VicRoads did put in a funding bid for the traffic lights, something in the order of $1 million worth of work, because it's quite a wide intersection. Unfortunately, that has not been funded, so council will need to continue its advocacy, particularly through its local members, to try and engender support for funding of what really is a critical intersection. The road is getting particularly busy.
Thank you, Mr. Shine. Does any other council have any other urgent questions? Motions without notice? Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, as a result of the last response, could we have a motion without notice that says that we write to, I'm going to ask because this is a progressive thing, who am I writing to? The Minister for Transport?
Roads and Ports.
Roads and Ports. So could we get that notice motion that says that we write urgently to the Minister for Roads and Ports to express our disappointment but willingness to advocate for Norton Drive traffic lights, as it is such an important intersection in our municipality. And you know what words to sort of use in that regard. I'll manage to work those out between now and next month.
Any other motions without notice? Councillors? Urgent business? No? Okay, section 19.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have a procedural motion that pursuant to section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated for items 19.1 and 19.2.
Thank you.
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your time and your patience tonight. It's been a little bit of a long one. And thanks to John from the Melton Botanic Gardens for hosting me the other week there for planting of the Special Federation tree. I did have it written down in the speech, but I forgot, John. Please enjoy some refreshments, ladies and gentlemen.